Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today we are joined again by our World Cup correspondent, Mr. Zach Gowdy. Zach, how you doing today, my man?
What's up? What's up? I'm good.
Yeah, of course you're good. Today is July 3rd, and it is the end of the round of 16 of the 2018 World Cup. And the final game of the round of 16 was England Colombia, which ended in a 1-1 draw with England advancing 4-3 on penalties. Before we go any further with the show, before we go any further at all and go into the round of 16 as a whole, and then going ahead and previewing kind of the rest of the tournament to come, because we're kind of running out of soccer, actually. We got a small
Guys, what are we gonna
finite amount.
do? In
Tyler.
2 weeks, I've fallen in love with this sport. What am I gonna do?
Well, we will have. I will be sure to tell you after the World Cup exactly what teams you could follow and what leagues you can go ahead to continue your lovely soccer passion to just developed and to act like the rest of the world and join Zach and I in enjoying the beautiful game that we love. But first, we talk about England, Colombia. As stated previously, England and Colombia drew 1-1. England advances 4-3 on penalties. I think the biggest story here, Zach and Tyler, is England finally getting that penalties monkey off the back. How's it feel, Zach? How's it feel to be liberated?
It's oh my God, dude. I sat and watched the game with my dad, and we got into extra time, and I was like,
Is your dad
we could,
your dad's a Brit, right?
yeah, straight from. So, like, we thought, all right, extra time, we could score and be good. It's like, let's not go to penalties. We both looked at each other and said, let's not go to penalties. And it went to penalties, and we looked at each other and were like, oh, we're in for it. And like, being an England fan and penalties is the scariest thing. Because.
Let me preface that real quick, Zach. For those that are not aware, England has traditionally gone out on penalties in every major competition going back to the 1990 World Cup. In 1990 World Cup, the 94 World Cup, you guys didn't qualify for, but that's another story. The 96 Euros was eliminated in the semifinals on penalties. The 2002 World Cup, the 2006 World Cup. There's yeah, it's been a time. Penalties are not friendly to England. Go ahead and continue, Zach. I just have to give our listeners that information.
Definitely no. It's always scary. So when we went into penalties, I kind of just was like, whatever happens at this point
I
happens.
won't even lie, I was so happy.
I mean, of course,
From the
I
Colombia
think you
perspective.
would, because and I hated how the announcers were like, England have lost every single time they've done penalty shootout, and like. They completely didn't think we could get through, and I
Bro,
was like, all right.
They jinxed
broadcast,
it.
on the broadcast, they showed footage of the
So
old penalty.
every missed penalty, and I was like, really?
Do you think that that's like the Fox team? It was like the first thing when they're like, "Okay, we've got the World Cup this time. We've got all the coverage. What's the first thing that we need edited in the video room? England penalty knockout."
No, what happened is no, what happens is Messi and Ronaldo are out of the World Cup, and so is Mexico. And so they scrambled and went, what do we do? What do we do? And they were like, England and the penalties. Yeah, do that, do that. And they ran that.
Yeah, so I was scared, and the first couple were good. I was like, all right, and then Jordan Henderson stepped up, and that's when I knew we were going to he was gonna miss. As soon as he stepped up, I knew he was gonna miss.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think he would miss. I thought Henderson would be the one that would miss. I thought Dyer was gonna miss at the end. That's the only one that I was like, oh, I think we got this.
Well, Ospina almost had it.
Ospina guessed correct on every single penalty. He guessed the right side, he just
He had
missed.
his hand on the ball.
Did guess right.
Yeah.
Jordan Pickford's save against
Baka
Baka.
was nasty. It was disgusting. It
Because
was so
he
nice.
jumped way before the ball was hit.
Yeah,
He
I thought it was
guessed
fine.
right.
When he jumped early, I thought we were good, because if Baka makes that fourth penalty, that yeah. all the pressure's on Dyer. And I think at that point, if you look at Dyer's penalty, the game-winning penalty, and I, a self-suffering Colombia fan, have decided to watch it a plethora of times, at least 10 times on Reddit. And Ospina not only guesses the right way, but the penalty is poorly taken. Like, instead of kicking it all the way to the side, as you're taught, he kicks it more towards, like, the left center. And I think if the pressure's mounting even more, because if Dyer misses that penalty, then we go to a sudden death round. But if yeah. Baca makes the penalty and Dyer goes up, if he misses, it's over.
Yeah.
So there's that. But okay, like, I don't want to spend the whole time on penalties, because that's not, you know, the game isn't played on penalties. The game is only won and lost in penalties.
Which, real quick, actually,
yes, go ahead.
What is your two opinions on that? Because I've actually run into a lot of people talking about this game that they just are like, they don't like penalties being the way that you decide a winner and loser of these matches. But the issue that I've found is that after they played 120 minutes, no one is willing to give like an alternative. So what do you guys feel about that?
Zach?
I prefer like golden goal or like first team to score wins. But the thing is, like, as you said, after playing 120 minutes, players are tired. You kind of just want to get the game over with. And then with the structure of the World Cup tournament and the knockout stages, you just have to find who's the winner quickly. So the best way to do it is penalties. But penalty, like, I mean, Alexis Lars was saying, you know, penalties is a craft.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone knows how to take a good penalty.
It's a part of the game.
Right. So putting up a team and then, or putting up like five or six players to take penalties, not everyone in that beginning slot's going to be great penalty takers.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a whole country's, you know, run to be down to just penalties, it's kind of upsetting, but
now
the best way, I think.
Yeah, I think now, listen, Zach's obviously traditionally been on the end that I'm on right now, but you know, the wound's still fresh, but I'm with completely sober mind and completely well thought out. I like penalties. I really do. I think they are a way to settle the game with still some kind of craft and some kind of athleticism, some kind of art towards it. I'd much rather penalties than flipping a coin. I'd much rather penalties than basically any other way. Like, I think it's a necessary evil, and in my opinion, it's not really that much of an evil. Penalties, penales are an art form in itself. And my stepdad always says a penalty that's well taken will always be in the net. When a penalty is stopped, it's because it was poorly taken. Now, there's some exceptions, you know, there's some crazy saves. But if you take a penalty correctly, it should go in every time. There's an art form to it, you know, and I feel like that's a necessary part of the game, you know? It hurts. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. Were we so close? Did we play great defensive soccer today? Yes, we did. I'm not going to say we played outstanding soccer. We defended well, I think. But you know, it is what it is. I think England deserves to move on. I think if we would have won, I think we would have deserved to move on. It's the game. It's the beautiful game. And to every beauty is some ugly. Somebody's got to be the receiving end of the ugly, you know? But okay. Yeah. But speaking of penalties, I want to go down to two big calls. The first is the yellow card to Sanchez, where Jordan Henderson took a headbutt to the chest and fell on the floor and embellished, which is that part of the game. But we put that was a thing in our group chat today. I agree with you, Zach, with what you said in our group chat. I think that was a red. I think Colombia got away with a red card. We got away with a Sanchez headbutt to Jordan Henderson. And honestly, it was it came back to bite us. I think karma kind of leveled itself out in that sense, but it came back to hurt England, because if there was a red card there, they would have been down 10 men. I'm almost positive you guys would have scored quicker and you would have scored from open play rather than from a penalty during the game. So I just want to clarify that. Like, as a Colombian fan, that was a red card. It was stupid what Sanchez was doing. We've seen it before. Just irresponsible. Yeah, Zach, you were saying?
And there was like the holding call for Kane's penalty.
Oh, for Kane's penalty. I think that was a penalty. I think it was a soft penalty, but I think it was still a penalty.
I didn't know. There was a lot of that whole game. There was a lot of like holding.
There was. It was a cagey game.
I will say. I think at one point the ref was just giving yellow cards out.
I think Mark Geiger, the only American ref at the World Cup, I think Mark Geiger ended up at one point having to give cards because he felt like the game was getting out of hand physically.
Yeah, it was.
England players and Colombian players alike were getting extremely physical. And I feel like the only tool that he had was to issue yellow cards. He did get a little yellow card happy in that second half, but I think it was necessary, I think.
Yeah.
I think he managed the game properly, and I think I saw a tweet by, I think, George Qureshi, who said, like, everyone is telling me that Mark Geiger is refereeing this game horribly. Twitter is saying that Mark Geiger is refereeing this game horribly, but in actuality, England and Colombia players are just going bananas. Like, they're just going crazy. You know what I mean? Like, that, you got to manage the game at some point.
I was saying that, too. I was thinking, like, that's the only way you could police the game was to give yellow cards, but yeah. I just feel I don't know. It's just some things were just very out of place.
There were some inconsistencies too. There were
some. I noticed that a lot.
Yeah,
there were a lot of inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's been a common theme throughout the whole tournament. It's been holding and grabbing in the penalty box has been something that. Because the thing that they were saying is that not every referee calls the same.
Correct.
Like, referees let it go, but some people give cards. And so When you're playing through a tournament and one game you didn't get called for this and now this game you did get called for it, you're kind of like, okay, so what are the rules? Can I hold? Can I not? What do I do? And also, like, I mean, every team is scrapping. It's knockouts.
Yeah, exactly. Gonna
hold.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel like parts of the tournament they were there's also a consistency throughout the tournament amongst the referees there. You know, there were some, like in the first England game when Harry Kane got dragged down 4 or 5 times, you know, like those should have been penalties. It's just I think it's justice. I don't want to say retribution, justice, you know. The right thing was done with the penalty for Kane. And, you know, and again about the caginess and the fairs. There's no rules, just aspects, you know? There's no rules. But, yeah, so that's all I have about that actual game. I did want to say that I went to a German bar for our listeners, I've relocated yet again. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, where I will be for the next 10 months. So I found a sports bar, and I took all of my coworkers and friends and roommates that I'm now living with for the next 10 months. And they were all very supportive, and they came over. They came with me. We took a walk. We get there, and I was hoping there were going to be some more Colombian fans. And let me inform you that I was the only Colombian fan. It wasn't until later on that a couple more Colombian fans showed up in their jerseys as well. But I was in a bar full of England fans, making a whole lot of noise, being a whole lot of rowdy, and talking a whole lot of smack. There was this one gentleman who was seated at the bar. We got there and we took his table by accident. I didn't realize it. We thought it was an open table. So, and then he comes over, he's like, oh, this is my table. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But by that time, food was already there and all that stuff. And he's like, no, it's okay. I'll sit at the bar. It's just me and my boy. Don't worry, whatever. So I go up there and I'm trying to buy him a beer because, you know, I feel bad. You know, I didn't notice. We took his table. I'm like, hey, man, can I get you a beer? I'm so sorry. This is before the game kicks off. No, whatever. Da, da, da. Man starts talking to me. Great guy. Wonderful guy. After the game, I'm standing at the high top. The group of rowdy English guys came and danced around me after the penalty shootout.
Must have been rough.
It was rough to an extent. There was one gentleman who was quite quite rude in his sayings and stuff, but all the other all of his friends and stuff, I shook their hands and I said, "Hey man, nothing but love." I said, "If you're gonna knock me out, then go win the cup. Like, I don't want to lose to a World Cup loser. Like, if you're gonna knock me out, go win it. Like, nothing but love." They started chanting, you know, "It's going, it's coming home, it's coming home." And I said, "Hey, bring it home. If you're gonna say it, bring it home." And you know, everyone is very nice and stuff, whatever. That there was one bald guy that he wouldn't even shake my hand and stuff, but that's besides the point, whatever. This guy comes up, I'm my head is down on the table, my friend's rubbing me on the back, whatever, and I feel a hand on my shoulder, and I look up, and it's this guy that was sitting at the bar. And he goes, "Listen, mate, thank you so much. That was a great game, you know, nothing but love and respect for your country and for your players. They showed heart out there. Just want to say, you know, it's all love. It's all love, and it's all unifying." And I was like, "Oh my god, wow, thank you so much, man. You know, that really meant a lot." We exchanged phone numbers and stuff, and so just another reason. I guess we're not doing moments of the week this week, but I guess that was my moment of the week, where just again firsthand experiencing the love and the unity that this great sport brings together, is even in, you know, times when we're rivals, you know. I told you, Zach, I said I love you, bro, but we're at war for 2 hours, you know.
We're not friends right now.
We're not friends right now. When the game's over, we'll reconvene our friendship. But we're not friends right now, bro.
I texted you both right at halftime, and I knew that you probably both did not want me to actually text you. But I was like, I was like, "How are you feeling?" Because I was like, "I need you guys to talk to me."
Yeah.
I was like, "I need you two to talk to each other because I want to hear the smack."
I thought that first half was solid, though. Like, I will say,
for you guys.
I thought that first half was solid. I was optimistic for the second half.
For you guys, I was my nails coming off, bro. I was nervous.
And can we go back to the goal, the Colombia goal?
Oh, we haven't even gotten there yet. We haven't gotten to my boy Yerimina's goal.
Can we go there?
Of course we can go there. There's no rules, bro. Aspects. There's no rules.
That head is probably one of the best headers I've seen in the World Cup.
Because
one, he hits it directly into the ground.
As you're supposed to head a ball. For everyone listening out there who wants to play soccer, when you head a ball, you head it down with power.
Directly into the ground. Mm-hmm. It bounces up. It bounces towards Trippier. Trippier still tries to head it out. And it still goes over him. And clicks the top of the crossbar
and
back down. And I sat there and I was like, "There's no way." There's no way you can defend against it. Like that. That has to be one of the best headers I've seen.
If you look at our goal against Poland, was also scored by Yerimina, and it's the same thing, bro. Off a corner, he comes in. And he heads the ball, and he heads it down with power where it's supposed to go. It's just like a perfectly taken penalty. If you head the ball properly, it's going in. Same with the penalties. You take a proper penalty, it's going in. He has three goals in this tournament for us.
Trippier's small, so I was like, he probably wasn't going to get to that anyway. But I watched it back and forth, and I was like, there's no – you couldn't do anything about that. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you try to do more about that, because that ball's coming up and still rising above you, and you just, any connection's not going to help. It's going in.
Yeah, no, there was no way.
That's one of those amazing things about sports, is just that a lot of times it's at a high level, it's chess, not checkers, but sometimes it's checkers, not chess.
Exactly.
It's just simple things, amazing things happen.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
My reaction with that goal was an interesting one. I'm not gonna lie. 2 minutes beforehand, I was telling my friend Brian. I said, "Brian, man, okay, so, all right, so we're eliminated from the World Cup. You know, we go out to England. I think decent. You know, England's got a shot. This one, that, whatever." And I'm watching him go. "Okay, we win a corner. Okay, all right. You know." And I'm still talking. Blah, 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 quiet, quiet. Silence when the ball's kicked, and that ball goes in, and I screamed. I've never screamed harder in my life. I felt that goal in my chest, in my thighs, in my feet. Zach, it's like when Yancey wants you to Y buzz and you feel it everywhere. Bro, that's exactly how I felt. I felt that goal in my spirit. There was another Colombian guy who I didn't realize was a Colombian fan because he wasn't wearing a jersey or anything. He was wearing like plain clothes. And he screams too. And we hugged each other and jumped in circles like the merry-go-round, bro. We jumped in circle and I just screamed, goal, goal, goal. And all those England fans are just snarking at me and are just yelling at me. And I stand up on the bench that I'm at and I say, yeah, all in Spanish. I'm screaming solely in Spanish, guys. Like, no English whatsoever. And I'm screaming and I say, Yerry Mina, Yerry Mina, Yerry Mina. And then I start by myself, the only person chanting, Colombia, Colombia. And I get like a whole bunch of groups of just like, I'm assuming tourists or like locals or something, who did not want anything to do with soccer, who are now fully invested in this game because I stood up and I screamed at the last minute, chant, like clapping with me, Colombia, everyone, whatever. I end up, and then I'm bazzled. I fall to the floor. I praise God. I send in my group chat with my mom and my brother. I said, God is Colombian in Spanish. I felt rejuvenated. Those, oh my God. And I got a short reaction. A friend of mine snapped it. Like 4 or 5 seconds of me, part of my reaction to the goal, and I will be sure to tweet that reaction on our Sideline Judgment account. Don't you worry, I'll send it to you guys before I tweet it out. But oh my Lord, let me just tell you, that is another reason why I love soccer so much, because it gives me that peak emotion. That is the peak of my emotions. I felt pure euphoria. I do not do drugs, but I imagine it is what that feeling is like. And then I felt. And then, as someone who has suffered with depression, as someone who has suffered with high anxiety, I felt at the lowest of my lows when that dire penalty went in and everyone celebrated around me. You know? Oh, man. This game is awesome. This is truly God's gift to Earth.
This though, is the World Cup that keeps giving.
This tournament is ridiculous.
This
is a wonderful tournament for me.
No. Like, this specific one.
This specific World Cup has been the greatest World Cup I have ever witnessed.
Yeah, I have memories of 06, and then I remember fully 2010 and 2014. And good Lord.
The most enjoyable, the most crazy. I mean, I was watching Argentina, France.
Okay, well, why don't you let's hold on that one, Zach, because Tyler, go ahead. No, we'll get there. Tyler, go ahead and say what you had to say, and then we're going to go ahead and move on, because we have spent 23 minutes talking about England-Colombia.
what I would say is, like, how lucky am I? Like, this is the first World Cup that I'm really seriously following, and what an amazing one. The bar has been set very high for myself.
The bar has been set almost as high as Yerry Mina jumping when he heads a ball. Okay, we're going to move forward. True.
He's 6'6". What are you talking about?
All right, we're gonna move forward. Viva Colombia, that's all I gotta say. We're gonna move forward, and we're gonna go ahead and talk about the round of 16 in games that are not Colombia and England. So here's how we're gonna do this, gentlemen. Here are the scores of the round of 16. We had Uruguay beating Portugal 2-1. We had France beating Argentina 4-3. We had Brazil beating Mexico 2-0. We had Belgium beating Japan 3-2. We had Spain and Russia tying 1-1 and Russia advancing 4-3 on penalties. We had Croatia and Denmark tying 1-1 and Croatia advancing 3-2 on penalties. We had Sweden beat Switzerland 1-0. And as you know, Colombia and England drew 1-1 with England advancing on penalties. Zach, I would like to hear one thing, one of your takeaways, excluding England-Colombia, because we spent 23 minutes on it. What is one takeaway, your big moment from the round of 16?
Kylian Mbappe, his second goal. His second goal.
But more than the what's it called goal? The other one?
The
what's his name?
Pavard.
Oh, more than Pavard's goal? Pavard's goal?
How is Pavard's goal physically possible?
See, what happens is that when you kick with the outside part of your toes, and you hit it at the perfect velocity and the perfect timing and Jesus comes down and touches the ball, that's how that ball goes in the net. Because there's no other explanation.
The thing, okay, so Pavard's
goal. We're saying it was a hand of God goal.
Very well done. Very well done, Tyler.
Second week in a row.
Go ahead, Zach.
Pavard's goal was one of those moments where you're just begging someone to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Where the ball comes out and it's outside of the box and you know there's a player arriving soon. And the best part about it was you never saw Pavard. Like, the camera never reached him. Still came into shot.
Here's the last second.
Last second he hits it. So you catch the last second of him hitting it. And he's just begging to be hit. And that was phenomenal.
That's what I call that a FIFA goal. Those things you can only score that in FIFA.
Right, you can only score it in FIFA. Yeah. You can only score it in FIFA. I'm saying Mbappe's goal because
the second one
was on a tear the whole game, and it was like watching like a cheetah run. He was just drilling through, and that shot was so clean. It was Thierry Henry-esque, and that's why I put it up there, because Thierry Henry is the greatest finisher in all of football for me.
Okay.
And just elegant football. Mm-hmm. And that goal was just like that. It was seamless. You just slotted it in. It was perfect. But
what I love about the Kylian Mbappe show, which is that game, is the fact that now the whole world knows who Kylian Mbappe is. Because before, you know, it was the diehard soccer fans like us. You know, we knew this man coming up at Monaco, was balling out in the Champions League, and then got his move to PSG. We knew who he was, whatever. But now Tyler's going to remember who Kylian Mbappe is.
Yep.
That man's got amazing pace. And what's great about Mbappe is that not only is he fast, because being fast does not make a great soccer player. It's being fast and having the smarts to know when to use your speed. And that's what Mbappe does so well. So your takeaway was Kylian Mbappe.
He stole that show. I've never seen anyone do that, especially against Argentina. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It wasn't like club level game. It wasn't like Champions League. We're talking World Cup. It's on the line. Your team goes home if you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And he just tore Argentina to shreds. It couldn't do anything about it. And I think even the breakaway, he was just off. I've never seen that. Just one-man counterattack.
I mean, one-man counter. One-man counter, yeah.
You know, before, but for you to be 19 years old and you to do that on the biggest stage in the world and score two goals by yourself.
This man's is 19, bro.
Should we come up with like a cool nickname for him or something?
Kylian Mbappe.
King Kylian.
King.
Ooh, I like that.
King Kylian.
Zach, that's going to take off. I don't know why.
That's going to take off.
It's probably because I just saw Jurassic World, mm-hmm. but I want to call him like the Velociraptor.
He is a Velociraptor. Have you seen him? It was quick.
Like that burst.
That burst of explosiveness. Oh my lord. Okay, cool. So Zach's takeaway was King Kylian, aka the Velociraptor. Tyler, give us your takeaway from the round of 16.
My takeaway, well, the biggest takeaway of all is your boy went 5-3. In the round of 16 predictions.
Very well done, my friend. Very well done.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm really impressed with myself. I thought I was gonna go 0-8. all kidding aside, my moments, the biggest takeaway that I really have is that it's really all centered around the Belgium-Japan game.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, that was a game to me where I really saw, and I'm still learning a lot about soccer. I don't know that much about strategy and everything, but you saw a team that was kind of vastly, I don't know, Japan is just not on the same level as Belgium.
They're an inferior talent. They're an inferior talent. Yeah,
they are inferior talent. And they just really took it to in all 90 plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know. That was the most incredible game to me.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole thing, and it was seeing, and I was, you know, watching Twitter and everything, and it's seeing, learning how Japan, what they were doing technically to kind of keep themselves in the game.
Right.
And it was just, it was probably the biggest thing is that, just seeing such a, I believe like Belgium is ranked third and mm-hmm. Japan is ranked like 60 something.
Right.
And just that game, that entire game was just incredible. I don't really know what I can take away from it, just other than learning about the way such a team with inferior talent could take it to kind of a giant.
Now, I want to get a little nerdy here for 2 minutes.
Do it.
To me, I did not get a chance to see that game. It was my first day at work. But I did end up watching the Fox Sports 90 and 90, which I highly recommend to everyone. If you, like me, are working during the day and cannot watch the games and don't have time to rewatch full games, the 1990 is a great way of, is a great highlights package that gives you the highlights, and then they also give you some post-match interview kind of things here. Romelu Lukaku. Let me take a second to talk about Zach Gowdy's boy, Romelu Lukaku. This man's on the final goal, on the third goal at the end, is a genius. He doesn't touch the ball once, but without him, Belgium doesn't score. What he does is he's moving. He crosses in front of I don't know who had the balls because I didn't watch the game, and so I don't know. But he crosses in front of the player with the ball. He goes kind of runs behind him, and then he goes in as if he's going to finish the cross. And then when the ball's crossed in, he dummies it, which in soccer we call it, when we dummy something, you just go as if you're going to touch the ball, but you don't touch the ball. You just let it roll past because there's someone behind you making a run. And that's exactly what happened. He makes a run to draw out the center back to give space for the player to go out and be able to make the cross. And then once the cross is made, Romelu Lukaku dummies it, and the ball goes straight back and is able to be scored for the 3-2 and to win the game. It to me is the epitome of when if I end up coaching one day, like my kid's soccer team or something or whatever, and they say, I don't have the ball, I don't want to run, I will show them this goal and explain to them and show them and say, listen, running, just because you don't have the ball does not mean that you're not vital to a play. If I'm a coach and I see that, the first person I'm running to is Romelu Lukaku. And saying, without you, that goal does not happen. Yes, our players had to be hours of practice crossing. Yes, you have to finish the cross and put it in the back of the net. But without Romelu Lukaku, there's no way that play even happens. And it's all about off-the-ball runs. It's like in basketball, when you have to move, you know? You can't just stand still. Teams, you don't create offense that way. You don't just stand still and ISO. I mean, unless you're the Rockets, but that's a whole other story. But like... You know what I mean?
There's strategy and everything.
Exactly. There's strategy and everything. And sorry, just allow me to nerd out real quick, because that was, to me, was I saw that, and I saw it from a tactical cam too, from up ahead. I saw it on Twitter, and it was a GIF, and my jaw dropped. I could not. I didn't see it at first. I saw the dummy, obviously, in the highlight, but I didn't notice the first half of that run that pulls the center backs out. Because Lukaku's a threat, so when you make that run, you draw the center backs out. Because if you're left open, you're gonna score the ball, you know. Just outstanding play by Lukaku off the ball.
Yeah.
Like I'm drooling. Like it's, oh my god, such a good play.
That was like really the first game of this cup that I really like. Both by that, just I mean I remember watching it, but that and just watching Japan and just everything I really learned a lot about strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of the technical stuff, and I really enjoyed that. So that's kind of my thing. But that was, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that was my nerdy. My takeaway from the round of 16, though, is actually the Brazil Mexico game. Brazil, to me, in the second half, decided that they were going to establish themselves and kind of play who they are. This Brazil team has kind of like slowly been getting their gears in, kind of thing. And I have some friends of mine who think I'm crazy by saying that I think Brazil's still gonna win the World Cup, saying like they haven't played well. But if you notice, it's because teams haven't attacked them. And this is the same thing that happened in this game. In the first half, Mexico kind of was content. They attacked them in the beginning, and then they kind of like sat back. And so Brazil wasn't able to open them up. They started Rafa Márquez, a 39-year-old defensive midfielder. Like, we know what you're doing. You're going to sit in front of the ball and defend. But in the second half, you know, Brazil has a great talent. Neymar scores a goal, albeit because of Willian's cross, who's a beaut. Yeah, Zach, go ahead.
He had the best game, I think, against Mexico. I don't rate Willian that much.
You're very sleep.
I'm asleep when it comes to any Chelsea player, really. But I was watching the game, and I was watching.
Yo, you're Mourinho showing, bro. You're Mourinho showing.
But I was watching the game, and I was watching Willian, and I was like, I bet Sergio's like gagging right now.
Oh,
what Willian's doing. And then he made that cross in for Neymar's goal, and I was like, all right, I see why Sergio likes
him. You see what I mean, bro? You see what I mean? I
see why he rates him. Because
take your Man U goggles off, bro. Take your Man U goggles off.
He was legit controlling that midfield.
Oh yeah, and when he goes out, and when he goes out to side, he was killing Mbappe before killing Mbappe in terms of if you ask me who I'm most scared of out on the wing, it's killing Mbappe. But before it was Willian, because Willian not only has speed, but has a technical ability to find space, to put the ball in the right space. And that to me is invaluable. And he's a nasty free kick taker, which he doesn't get the chance to do with Brazil. But oh my God, that Willian cross was beautiful. And then going back to what I was saying, you know, the game opens up, you know, when you're down a goal, Mexico, it's a knockout game. You got to chase the game. You got to go. You know, they open themselves up. Brazil score a second goal. They kind of establish themselves, go back. Neymar also afterwards, he said, you know, Mexico, we're very confident going into this, and we kind of humbled them down. And you're not wrong. I mean, dare I say that I was the person remembering saying we need to calm down after Mexico beats Germany? You know, were they not the team that could have gone home? Did they not have the possibility of being the only team in World Cup history to go not be knocked out of the group stages after winning their first two matches? How close were they? They needed two South Korea goals in the 90th and 93rd minute in order for that to not happen. Huh? Did they not go out in the round of 16?
Go in.
Again? Come on, sit down.
Drag them down.
No, and my problem is that they played good soccer. They had the talent to make the semifinals. They had the talent and they had the ability, and at times they played to make the semifinals. But once again, you can't get it through. Like, just like England today got rid of their penalties demon, Mexico has yet to get rid of not advancing past the round of 16. It's the sixth World Cup in a row since 1986, guys. Since 1986.
It's almost hard to do.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to do.
But hey, they're consistent.
They're consistent, my man. So that's my takeaway. That is my little mini Mexico rant. So my number one team is the U.S. men's national team, and so they are our biggest rivals. So yes, thanks, Tyler. So naturally, there's a rivalry there. But also, as a Hispanic, if you ask the Latin American community, it's exactly what Neymar felt like. Everyone says that like Mexico acts as if they are this holy being and they are this footballing nation that is supposed to be respected and endeared and stuff. And in Latin America, it's like, no, dude, like just because you speak the same language, and just because you're a little bit further north and have an easier path to World Cup qualifying doesn't make you this end all be all footballing nation. Sit down, be humble. Come on now. K dot said it best. So yeah, that was that. But also shout out Memo Ochoa has had 33 World Cup saves in the past two World Cups. That is the most combined of any goalkeepers in history in the World Cup. So shout out that man's. Also, Chicharito and Cuadrado, you boys, Don't bleach your hair before a round of 16 game.
I was wondering what happened.
Like somebody like bro, Carlos Vela, bro, come get your mans. Come get your mans, bro.
Happened.
Andy Carroll, bro, you play with this man at West Ham. Come get your mans, bro.
I thought I was seeing the same player twice.
No, they both.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell it many times.
I was concerned. I was concerned for their mental health. Why would? What would you?
But like the broadcast never even mentioned it, too.
No, and I'm actually glad they didn't mention it because then it would have been the whole narrative of like, oh, they should be focusing on the game and not bleaching the hair. And you know what, like, bro, that's got nothing to do with it. You know,
I'm just
that's well, like the Raheem Sterling tattoo thing. Like, it's got nothing to do with it.
I mean, I agree. I'm just surprised because it wasn't even like they mentioned it. They're like, oh, I don't know why, and then they just never mentioned it. It's like, no, their hair's black. Which is obviously not
right.
I'm sitting there watching it with my girlfriend. And I'm like, why? Or like, it's got to be a thing because like multiple of them.
I thought it was a thing, but if it's a thing, then the whole team should have done it. You know,
right?
I mean?
Yeah, they would have been like, we're together. They're solidarity or something. But yeah, no, it was like three players, including Chicharito. Therefore, I am calling upon every West Ham United player to come get your mans, bro. Despicable. Okay, so that was my takeaway, the Mexico debacle and also Brazil establishing themselves with their dominance. All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We have the quarterfinals. We have four games in this round. We have Uruguay, France, Brazil, Belgium, Russia, Croatia, and Sweden, England. I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys your predictions for the quarterfinals. I'm going to go ahead and start with Zach. Uruguay or France?
France.
Ooh, okay. Zach? I mean, Tyler? My bad, guys. It's late.
Gotta go with France.
I will also be going... I will be going with Uruguay, and here is why. I will be going with Uruguay, here is why. Because Uruguay has an outstanding defense, and I feel like if there's a team that can contain the speed of Kylian Mbappe, the power of N'Golo Kante, and the versatility and effectiveness of Paul Pogba, I think it's Uruguay. They're sleepy quiet. They're quiet, guys. I've seen this team play a lot because of Peru and Colombia's World Cup qualifying. I'm going to do it to be different, you know? And if France wins, you know, I can see it happening too, you know? I could see France winning the World Cup, so.
I would say Uruguay as well, but I just felt that...
King Kylian?
No, I felt that against Portugal... They didn't really come into that. I felt like that goal for Cavani was sort of luck.
The second one? Which one? Because he scored twice.
The first one.
Yes.
Although technically outstanding, the play was phenomenal. Like, the way they moved the ball was amazing. I just felt like that just had to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. But then again, that's this World Cup, man.
Yeah, but... Uruguay's defense, as you said, is solid, but I just feel like their attack with Suarez and Cavani is not there yet.
Yeah, we also have to see if Cavani's going to play because he did come out with an injury. Yeah. That we didn't even mention that with Colombia, the fact that James didn't even play.
Yeah, that was a big thing. As an England fan, I was excited because I knew that was.
Oh
a
yeah,
key.
Of course. One of the guys who was talking trash or whatever. 10 minutes in was like, wait a minute, where's James? And I was like, his calf. And they were like, oh, damn, that sucks for you. And I was like, yeah, it does. Thanks for the reminder. Shut up and watch the game. Okay, so I get your reasoning, Zach. I completely get your reasoning. But if France wins, then, you know, I am fully behind that too. No love lost. Next game, we got Brazil against Belgium. Who you got, gentlemen?
Oh, man.
I think this one's pretty tough.
I think this one's the toughest one out of all of them.
I agree. This is the toughest game in this round. I'm going to go ahead and adamantly throw my support behind Brazil. I truly believe they're the best team in the tournament.
So I have also
especially the best team left, I think.
I think the weird thing with Brazil is, like, as you mentioned, they haven't played that well. They have not appeared to play that well. lately. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned because teams aren't really attacking them. So part of it to me is I believe that it's one of those things where it's like you want to be there. There's concern when a team's not playing well in a tournament, they keep advancing. Mm-hmm. But to me, I've always thought that that could pretty much be a good thing, because then assuming that you figure it out, it's over. And then once they start playing well, like they've already made it this far. So I think Brazil is going to figure it out.
I think they figured it out in the second half of that Mexico game. That's my
thing. So I think they're going to bring it. It's hard though with Belgium, because I tweeted this out when Belgium came back against Japan. I'm like, that was some Team of Destiny stuff right there.
It was, but here's the thing: if Belgium's down 2-0 against Brazil, they're not coming back.
I don't think they'll get that far.
Belgium or Brazil?
I think Brazil's going to win. I'm putting my money on Brazil.
Okay.
But I will too.
Okay.
That's going to be a close game.
I agree. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I
think it might go down to penalties.
Oh, wow. You really think it's that close. I think, if anything, extra time.
I think that although Brazil have the momentum to move the ball around, I think that the talent in midfield mm-hmm. and up front is so ridiculous. I think they can get one goal out of it. Mm-hmm. Like I, it's hard for me to bet the cards against Kevin De Bruyne, Eden Hazard, Romelu Lukaku. I mean, we've got Vertonghen in defense. I mean, that team is pretty set. So
well, it's hard for me to bet against Gabriel Jesus, Neymar, Felipe Coutinho, Paulinho, Willian.
That defense with Thiago Silva, Marcelo. Oh, okay. Marcelo's still back?
Marcelo, I think, I don't know. I think he'll be back for that game. But if not, you got Felipe Luis, who's also who plays for Madrid, Atletico Madrid, who's an outstanding fullback.
Marcelo's the key to that offense.
I disagree. Well, here's the thing. And here's where I'm explaining to you real quick. Because what happens with Marcelo is that Marcelo goes up to the attack more. Felipe Luis is a more structured, defensive fullback. So what happens is he keeps Neymar more in check. So when Neymar is kind of going out and doing his kind of crazy things, and he, because as a superstar player does, drifts out of position, he holds Neymar more responsible to bring him back to that position, leaving the defense more solid. They are more solid defensively when Felipe Luis is playing fullback rather than Marcelo. But I agree with you. They are more of an attacking threat. Which with Marcelo, yeah. So it's a matter of what they're kind of going with.
At the end of the day, you got to score goals. So to me, it's mm-hmm. it's like I feel that although Marcelo offers an above average, maybe, defensive output, his mm-hmm. offensive output's ridiculous.
I agree.
And he sits in pockets of space. Mm-hmm. Allows Coutinho to run around.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he's the cover. Because he's the cover.
Right. He's the cover.
Yeah.
So I would say that losing him would be tough, but I think Gabriel Jesus, Neymar, Willian, Coutinho.
Yo, Firmino's coming off the bench.
I mean, Firmino had a fantastic season this year. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of confidence, so it's hard to
root against. And he scored in the last game.
The last game, like, so I got Brazil. Okay.
So, yeah. Tyler, you also got Brazil?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. Wow, this is getting very tactical today. I'm a big fan of this.
I'm
nerding out. Okay, two more games. Russia and Croatia. Gentlemen, who you got? You want to talk about a team of destiny? You want to talk about a team of destiny? This Russia team is a team of destiny.
Oh my goodness.
I don't get it, man. They're a bad team. They are a bad football team.
I'm pulling the trigger. Croatia's winning 3-0.
Oh.
What?
Oh. Hot take.
My dog said 3-0.
3-0? Really?
You saw what? Yes. Did you not see what Denmark did to Croatia?
I stand by what I said.
I said what I said.
I said, did I stutter?
And he was on crack. Oh my gosh. Okay, I mean, I'm picking
Everyone,
Croatia.
everyone has ever told me about this Russian team is that they're bad and they keep winning, so I have to believe that it's gonna
I
catch
think
up to them.
I'm
Croatia won all three of their group stage games. I mean, despite not, I didn't get to watch all of the Croatia Denmark game,
Oh, you
but I
slept.
watched most.
Ooh, was
I watched the sec. I watched the second half.
coming out.
You didn't watch it?
Nah, because I knew Croatia were gonna make it out.
Oh my God. I'm the only one who watched that game.
I was like,
I
there's
watched the
no
second
way.
half.
Oh, but did you see extra time and penalties?
Yes, I did.
Okay, at least
I
you saw
watched the
that.
important part of the game. I didn't see the whole
I
thing.
don't know. Some would argue that those first 6 minutes where the two goals were scored.
That's true. That's part of the reason.
I was more interested in Spain, Russia at that point. I was like,
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that was wild. We didn't talk much about Spain, but
we
that's.
didn't talk much about the fact that the goats left.
That's true. We didn't talk about
Yeah,
that.
and Mbappe's still playing, so I don't know what y'all talking about.
Okay, you're right, but
King Killian's still playing. I don't know
The
about
AKA the Velociraptor,
y'all.
the apex predator.
Apex Predator. Okay, I'm gonna go with Croatia.
I go
Not
crazy.
by an outlandish 3-0, but I'm gonna go with Croatia. Watch them win 3-0, Zach. Watch.
If they win 3-0, I'll be shook.
Tyler, you need to specify that when you do your predictions to round up after each game.
Oh, you know I
If
will.
they don't win 3-0, you don't win the prediction.
That's fine. I'll take the L.
That's fair. That's not
I'm
fair. He
pulling the
gets
trigger on this.
a bonus point.
You get all right, yeah. Okay, you'll get a bonus point if you
All right. Come
exactly.
on.
Oh
Yeah.
my. And then our last game of the quarterfinals, Sweden versus England. Zach, I ain't even gotta ask you.
Know where I'm going.
I know where you're going. Tyler.
I gotta go England, baby.
I think I said on the last episode that you were on, Zach, that the winner of the Colombia England game would be the official sideline judgment team that we would support. So it's
Congratulations.
coming home. It's coming home, Zach. It's coming home.
If you go to the library and you look in the section places it's coming, you will find home.
You will find home, my man. I will go with England as well. Okay, and I don't okay. Okay. Why don't you guys give me from those teams that you picked who you think will win the World Cup? We're not going to go into semis and stuff and talk hypotheticals and that. We will do that on our next episode when we recap the quarterfinals. But I still got Brazil winning it all.
I still think I predicted a Brazil England final.
You did. Yeah, you did.
And
Zach, you don't want that smoke, dog. You don't want no
I
smoke.
know, but I'm interested. I'll buy it. I'll buy it, but I don't want but
I think I still gotta roll with Brazil, Belgium. Oh, sorry, Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
And
Zach,
what
who you
I
got?
say by that is that I think what would happen, the way I see it, this game against Belgium might be the greater test than the semi. Just, I mean,
Yes.
it's possible.
Okay.
Well, it's like I would feel like
Well,
I
we
don't
can
know
get it.
how
I think we can get into that.
when that happens.
Yeah, I think we can get into that on our next episode, our next World Cup episode where we talk about that.
But I think I'm still gonna go with Brazil.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And then Zach, your heart's telling you England, but who's your head saying?
It's England.
That's real. I fully support someone supporting their country.
I mean, because I've been
Y'all
talking.
just won on penalties.
I'm just saying, like,
You got the monkey off your back.
got the monkey off our back. Alexis Lalas said that we were going to rue the day not beating Belgium in the group stages because we'd have to face Colombia. We came out on top. We're playing Sweden, who I think we can beat.
I
And
think you'll
then
be too.
our other teams, like, are facing harder teams. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel
Whoever
you.
comes out of that. Right, Belgium, Brazil, those are two great teams. Whoever comes out of that, a strong team. Then they still have to face each other. So it could be Brazil, France, Brazil, Uruguay, or Belgium. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
they
my
have to
thing,
each other.
it's like Hunger Games on that side.
Yeah. 100%. But the thing is, Russia, Croatia is the one that is scary. I'd prefer to get Russia over Croatia.
100,000%.
I know that Croatia. I just feel that Croatia is going to beat Russia.
Mm-hmm. But I still think that playing Croatia is better than playing any of the four teams on the other side of the bracket.
Yes.
You're in the Eastern Conference.
You're in the East. Yeah, welcome to the East.
It is the Eastern Conference.
Welcome to the East. Yeah, if this is the Eastern Conference, then you guys are the Raptors, and you finally are making it, have a good run to get there, and your boy over here is the Cavs after LeBron left, because Hamid was hurt, so.
Yeah.
I love that you think the Cavs are making the playoffs after LeBron's left.
What?
I love the insinuation that you put on there, Tyler. Oh, man. All right. Well, this has been another... Oh, I know we're not doing tweets we shared or anything, but I would like to point out, I saw this on the U.S. Soccer subreddit. The winner of Brazil-Belgium will be the official winner of the 2018 Volkswagen tournament. Guys, those are the only two countries left that have the Volkswagen commercials that they have.
Oh, true! Oh!
So keep an eye out for that one.
Volkswagen's like, why did Volkswagen like only pick like six countries?
I don't even know. And why was one of them Iceland? And why was one of them?
Okay, the Iceland one is hilarious. So you just back off right there.
It is, but like they had no realistic chance.
And they keep running them.
They keep. I don't know, man. Listen, as a U.S. soccer fan,
for like a week now, and they keep running them.
I've ended up muting those commercials because as a U.S. soccer fan, it's just too painful to remind me that I'm not in the World Cup.
I wanted to make a joke earlier, mm-hmm. and I held back because I felt like it was too much.
Lay it on
But
me.
You brought up the U.S. men's national team. So I got it. You guys are talking about how, like, this is the greatest World Cup. Nothing has, like, ever been as crazy as this. And I wanted to kind of take a jab and be like, oh, it's like, it's weird. Like, there's this weird element that's, you know, missing finally from the World Cup.
Well,
It's like weird. Like once the United States exits the World Cup, it gets really good.
So this has been Sideline Judgment with Sergio and your co-host Zach. I don't know who this Tyler man is.
Croatia 3-0.
Croatia 3-0. Yeah. No, but seriously, watching this World Cup, not having my primary team involved is less stressful. Today was pretty stressful because I was fully invested. With, you know, when Colombia and Peru were playing and stuff, but like, if we're being real, if gun to my head, I'm picking one team to cheer for, it's the U.S. national team. And same. You know, without them being in the tournament, it has been kind of just kind of like, I'm just gonna enjoy the soccer, I'm just gonna enjoy the beautiful game that I love. So
there's an element to that in a lot of tournaments that I mean, I've experienced when the team that I root for is out, then now it's like there's an element of objectivity that you can apply to it.
Right, yeah.
In so a way you can just enjoy it as a sport.
Right, it'll be like the Cavs fans for the playoffs for the next decade. So
there's exactly. that. Exactly.
Boom, bring it full circle. Okay, gentlemen, this has been a wonderful World Cup round of 16 recap.
If Croatia beats Russia 3-0, I'm naming my firstborn Tyler.
Thank you. You want to shake on that? We're not next to each other, but like,
if they win 3-0, I'm literally my firstborn Tyler.
We get that around.
No, you ain't real. No way. There's no way.
This is recorded. This is gonna be on the internet forever.
Tyler will be somewhere in the name. I'll say that. Let's.
I'll be fine with the middle name. I'll be fine with middle name. It doesn't even have to be the only middle name. You can have two.
I cannot wait to go to this baptism. I cannot wait to show up and have this kid's name middle name be Tyler. And ask me in 15, 20, in 30, 40 years, why is my middle name Tyler? And just run it back. Like, this is your daddy.
We actually have it on record.
It was like, this is your dad right here. This is your father. Oh, my. This is a hot episode, man. Wow. This has been another episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
Thank you so much for joining us, Zach. We will have you back on to review the quarterfinals and preview the semifinals. And we are not biased, but go England.
Go Three Lions.
It's coming home.
It's coming home.